Israel. Vayvatei Yaakov levado, vayavek ishimo, adalot alot ha-shachar, adalot ha-shachar. So Yaakov is left alone, and there's a man, vayavek, and he's, how do you say vayavek? Vayavek means he's like wrestling with him, but avak, aleph bet kuf is the same shoresh as dust. So there's a man dusting with him. Ad alot ha-shachar. All night long. Vayar ki lo yecholo. And at some point, the angel or man sees that he can't overcome Yaakov. Vayigah b'kaf yerecho. And he touches his yerech, I guess his thigh. Boom. Vataka kaf yerech. And somehow palm of the thigh gets misplaced. That Yaakov Avakaimo, and Yaakov is fighting with. So this is one of the most interesting stories in the whole Tanakh. It's how we got our name, Israel, in the fight. And it's also one of the most weird stories. I was trying to go through different mafarshim. Everyone has different pshat, all sorts of interesting pshat. Ramban talks about how it represents the Jewish people and their fight with the nations. And also, everyone has something to say about it. I saw Rav Dessler has something to say about it. It was very interesting about free will. The Kli Yucker is a very interesting thing about learning Kabbalah. Everyone takes it a completely different angle. At the end of the day, I still find the Tiva Shalom's pshat to be the most sweet. So let's learn it together. B'gmar b'chulim, tzadik aleph amen aleph. So how do we approach a story that we have so many questions, we don't understand who is the angel, why are they fighting, what's the deal with the thug, yerech? So we go to the Gemara, and the Gemara says, melamed she'elu evak margalotem al kisei hakava. So avak is from a lesson of dust, and so the dust of their fighting went up to the heavens. They wrestled it out, and the dust goes to the heavens. The chain iser b'zoyer ka-kodesh. And that's what it says. The same thing, the Zohar brings down this concept. The dust of Yaakov and Esav are fighting to the heavens. So what does that mean, that the dust of Yaakov and Esav are going to the heavens? What do you think? Any thoughts?
It's
I guess, I haven't learned this inside yet, but let's see. I guess it's that it's a significant fight. Something here is like, it's going all the way to the heavens. It means there's something eternal going on in this fight. So let's see. Yesh tam. Ha'inyan kimo she'omrim chazal. As chazal teach us, Bereishis Rabba, shehu haya sara shel Esav, that the angel that Yaakov is fighting was the representative of Esav. She'nilcham im Yaakov v'metara la'pilo mimadregotav. And he's fighting with Yaakov to bring him down to a lower level. By the way, in my opinion, that midrash, that the angel that he's fighting is the angel of Esav, is actually pshat. Because Yaakov goes over to Esav, and he goes to him and he says, I've seen your face, and it's like the face of God, like the face of angels. So it's like he saw Esav's face before in the angels. It's actually pshat. Oh, shalom aleichem, come join us. Grab a chair, Larry. So the angel he's fighting is Esav. V'alpizei yesh lefarach v'yavek ish imo. And that's why it says in Esav and him is fighting. Ha'yishabikesh latil bo lefachot avak. So the does is that Esav's angel knows that he has no chance to tackle Yaakov Avinu. He's not going to actually conquer Yaakov Avinu. But he's hoping to throw some dust on him, to damage him in some minute way. That's avak. You get it? Okay. To the matin v'chazal, lashon avak ribis, avak shviz, avak lashon hara. Avak is always a lashon of the dust of lashon hara. Right? It's not actually lashon hara, but it's like smacks of lashon hara. Right? That's like the famous thing with the Rambam, where if you ask me, what do I think about Eliot? And I'm talking to Eliot's enemy, and I say, oh, he's a great guy. That's the dust of Lashon Hara, because it's like Lashon Hara, even though it's not actually Lashon Hara. Yeah? Okay. But if you want, if it's easier, you can look inside. Okay.
You're inviting the guy to say Lashon Hara,
right? Right. Even though it's not actually Lashon Hara, but it could lead to Lashon Hara. So it's mamish a miracle. It's mamish a miracle. So
Larry's here.
It's like when Larry comes, it's like Mashiach. Mamish like the Mashiach. Every day we daven that Larry should come. So Larry's here, Elliot's here, Ariel's here, and the Tiva Shalom, the Shechina's here with us. It says that when two Yidden are learning Torah, the Shechina. So now we have four right now. It's like four times Shechina at the Kais of Amaravi. His mom is like the Shechina. Now five. Kibal. Bo titztaref. Anachnu lomdim ala avak shel ha ma'avak. Ben, avak shel ma'avak. Ben,
the dust of struggle?
The dust of the struggle between Yaakov and Esav Avinu. Uh-huh. Yaakov Avak Shalom Avak. Yaakov Avinu.
It would have been. It could have been.
He had the potential.
It should have been.
No, Marty Shum Navar.
It would have been, it could have been, and it should have been.
Bezrat Hashem. One day Esav will do tshuva, like the Chazir, will be machzir. Rabbi Yitzchak is going to machzir him to tshuva, and we're all gonna dance and sing. Bekitzer. So avak shit v'zeo v'yavek ishimo ki yada shebenoga liyisurim lo yachalo. He knew that there's no chance that anyone was going to convince Yaakov Avinu to do actual isurim. He's not going to actually get him to break kashrus or break Shabbos. But what Esav want to do? I can bikesh latil avak b'madrikotav aruchanit. So what does Yetzer Hara want to do? He wants to throw dust upon our spiritual levels. What does that mean, to throw dust? Kisei HaKavod is a code word for our emunah. By the way, I heard today that the stipler or the Chazon Ish, or maybe both of them, said the mitzvah of our generation is emunah. The guy who wears a lot of tzitzis. What's his name? He wore like a million pairs of tzitzis. He was the guy, Rav. No mission. A million pairs of this. Anyway, he said it's emunah. So, because our generation, that's why every day we need to listen to podcasts about emunah. We struggle with emunah every single day because that's the mitzvah of the generation. In the older days, you say, you're sure once, good. You're good for 10 years. The older days, that's how it was. Now we struggle with emunah because it's the mitzvah of the generation. So, what did the angel at the end of the, right before Mashiach, right? Say the tefillah, and we're in the days of, Chinas Mashiach, as we say in the Avinu Shebashmayim prayer, it doesn't matter. We're right before Mashiach, so the chavel before Alot Hashachar, the challenge is Emunah. And that's what Esav wanted to challenge Yaakov. He wanted to take away from his Emunah. He knew he wasn't going to get him to stop keeping Shabbos, to stop keeping kosher. But he's going to stop a Yid from being happy, from being Emunatic for a moment, to know that everything that happens is from Kadosh Baruch Hu. That he thought he could touch Yaakov Avinu on. And that's the battle of Yaakov and Esav.
That's why he sent the angel, the bad angel, to the battle.
The angel is there battling the battle about Emunah, the battle about faith in God that we all constantly struggle with. By the way, it's amazing. I before you guys came, I was looking in Rosh Shlomo. That's exactly the way he explained it. He said that the sorrow shel Esav is this inner voice that we have inside of us, which is whispering inside of us these thoughts of doubt, these thoughts of questions, is everything, it's not fair, is it really God, does God really watch over us? That's the sorrow shel Esav. That's what Shlomo says, not to believe in ourselves, not to believe in how special.
You're saying Esav was trying to instill doubt?
Yes, Esav is a father. Who's Esav's descendant?
A Roman.
Right, but before the Romans.
Oh.
Amalek. What's Amalek all about? Doubt. Mamash came down. It happened here. Larry has a chiddush. I didn't think of that before, but you're right. It's Esav is Amalek. Amalek is the Romans who tried to conquer this western wall right here.
Because of Timnah. He didn't let her in.
Yeah, maybe.
Tell them.
I don't know that.
Was Esav's son.
Oh, Eliphaz and Timnah.
And Timnah wanted to convert. But Yaakov Avinu said, no way.
Who's Timnah again?
She was a floozy. He didn't want her as part of Jewish people. She just wanted to be part of the Jewish people. And he said, no. So she said, I'll show them. And she married Eliphaz, and she had Amalek. She had a kid who was called Amalek. Right. Amalek was a person, one person.
Right.
From him comes the bad.
The kids are back to the Sefer Shalom with that commercial break. So it's all about Amunah. Anyways, okay, so let's see. Let's see what happened. Oh, Romy is talking about that, exactly. He wants to unfocus us with our Amunah. It's all about Amunah. Oh, just mentioning the Kli Yakar, and he came back. I mentioned him, and he came back, and he says, by the way, Kli Yakar, my father-in-law is a big rabbi. He told me that if you want a good drasha for Shabbos, you haven't prepared anything, you go to the Kli Yakar. Because he wrote for a kehila. He wrote his sefer as like for his vort. So it's not just like the Ramban, it's very like long and all sorts of detail. It's not Rashi, it's terse, it's like a drasha. So anyway, so the Kli Yakar, right? By the Kli Yakar wrote that just looking the Kli Yakar is the one who wrote that the Shechina, he talks about the Shechina and the Kota. He writes that just looking at Har Bayis makes you on a higher spiritual level. That's what he says. Mamish.
We see the Har Bayis from here?
Here we can, unfortunately, but I can show you later. There's a rooftop, you could see it, Mamish. Mamish.
Beautiful, amazing.
But I think that learning Torah by the Kaitel will also bring some Shechina. Shechina lo zaza mikoto maravi. So, Mamish, a lot of Shechina. Anyways, that's a Kli Yakar.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Come learn Torah with us. We have a Thursday night, but it's Shechina all the time.
Really? Mamish Thursday nights?
Mamish, but we even have posters and everything.
What?
We have posters and everything.
I have
posters. But take my number because the time fluctuates. Sometimes it's 6 o'clock, sometimes it's 7 o'clock.
Just come
to the Kaisel and we'll run into each other.
Kabbalah,
kabbalah. Also, Shabbos morning, 8 o'clock, we're having minyan. Kabbalah, bring Simcha to Am Yisrael.
Well,
thank you so much.
L'chaim.
Amen. All right. So,
what are we reading from again?
We're reading from the Tiva Shalom, the Slonim HaRebbe. The Rebbe of Am Yisrael, a big tzaddik. And he gave this word on Shabbos Kodesh, I think. Maybe. Anyways, it's my favorite explanation to the battle between Yaakov and Esav, which is how Am Yisrael became who they are. So Am Yisrael became who they are through this battle for Emunah, this inner battle inside of ourselves that we all constantly battle. Do we believe it's all for the best, or do we not all believe it's all for the best? That's basically what it comes down to. All of life, do we believe it's all for the best? So anyways, the Ke'en Zeh Esa B'Kli Yakar, Al Vayavik Yishimah Sharatel Sameyat Enei Sichlo Ka'avak. He wanted to blind us like dust, throw dust onto our eyes. It makes a person blind. Okay, so he wanted to make a person blind. It was interesting. Yaakov Avinu took advantage a little bit of his blind father. Mm-hmm. And then he was tricked through blood. He wasn't able to see that Rachel was Leah. He was blinded, so to speak. So now he's battling with blindness. The Vault, Chidushim coming down from the Kaisa. Anyways, Hainu L'tashtesh B'Yirut Amun Shalah. It comes from the lack of clarity. Someone today was had a long conversation with a woman who was asking me about shiduchim and stuff and her struggles. And they said, like, you can't have a muna yesterday. You have to have a muna today. I mean, every single day, you need to listen to a good shir about a muna, talk to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It doesn't matter yesterday that you had a muna. Today you have to have a muna, you know what I'm saying? Every day is a new battle. Ad alut ha-shachar. Ad lo ad bechlal. Ki alidei alut ha-shachar yikir b'met ki yesh l'olam bora umani. Through Alot HaShachar, we're going to understand that there's a creator of the world. When the sun sets, you come here to the Kaisel, it's silent, and everyone has a Muna. When you come here, you just know that there's a creator of the world. You can't be an atheist and go to the Kotel for Nates. It's just impossible. You just feel Hashem's presence, like He gives you a kiss. When he saw the sun rise, he said, oh, there must be a heaven. Story with the Malbim. That once, it was 4 in the morning, and his kids are all sleeping, you know, 5 kids. And he said, Kindlach, wake up, wake up. And he wakes them all up, and they're all grabbing. He says, Tati, what do you want? He says, it's a miracle. And he brings them outside, and the sun was setting. He says, Hashem created the world. It's a miracle. God, Hashem bless us all to wake up our kids in the middle of the morning, just like the Malvin. And they'll hate us. Anyways. K'moshu matin of Avram, shikiret aboyra. When he saw the sun, he believed in Hashem. The Baal HaKedah writes, Rav Yitzchak HaRoma, If the sun would come out, we would hear the Roman voice. The Romans, boo, the guys who tried to destroy the Kaisel, so they don't believe in the Baira. If we didn't stand here and learn Torah, we would hear Rome trying to tell there's no God. That's what it means. They're trying to put dust on our Amunah. Kisa Kavod equals Amunah. It's interesting. I never knew this chiddush that Kisa Kavod equals Amunah. But now every time we say our Shiyatzar, we can think about this. Because we say, it's known before your Kisei HaKavod. We say this after we go to the bathroom 12 times a day. We say, God, it's known before your glorious throne. Glorious throne apparently is a hint to Amunah. It says in Tiv HaShalom. So a Shiyatzar apparently is our Amunah boost. Every time we go to the bathroom, we have a chance to remind ourselves to have Amunah, that our body. You want to believe in God, go on Google and write fun facts about the human body.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you interesting things. Yeah. Like there's 22 feet inside of you of the small intestine, and there's 12 trillion cells and all sorts of random things.
Amazing, amazing.
And then you'll believe in God again. Yeah. So you see what Ashiyatar? You had a long night last night, Lee?
What?
You had a long night last night?
No, I am.
You're a little tired. Look. Okay, we're off topic. Point is, let's go back. So now, the angel sees he has no chance of overcoming Yaakov Avinu. There are three levels of Amunah. We thought, Amunah, I believe or I don't believe. Nah, it's not like that. Tachtayim shtayim is lisim. 1, 2, and 3. Yesh Amunah samoach. There's right now. Rav Kalman said, everything that happens for the best. In my brain, very good. That's intellectually. I learned in a book, I believe in a God. Okay, I believe it. It sounds good. There's a God. Very nice. I read the Rambam. I'm convinced. I read Permission to Believe. And I believe. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. Shagam birik she'aliv. But there's something completely different. Where our heart believes in God. And that, you sing a little bit. You go to good kumzitz. You dance a bit at the kaisel. Then you're feeling something. He says something very interesting. The difference between belief in your brain and belief in your heart are like the difference between heaven and earth. There's no connection. A person can learn philosophy all day. Doesn't mean he feels, belief in Hashem. That you need a different keli to bring it into our hearts. Right. You need a good story, you go to Shlomo, whatever it is. We call him. It could be person's learning all day about Amunah, but then when he goes to a hard time, he's really sad, he's really scared, then he doesn't really have so much Amunah. By the way, it could be the opposite too. It could be a person when he's normal situation, he doesn't believe in God. And when he's in a really hard situation, it just comes out, he really does believe in God. I can tell you a lot of stories about stuff like that. Anyways.
They said there's no way
he has
been
in the foxhole. Yeah, I just read an amazing story last night about that, but I'll save it. I don't want to get to the maimon. All of your body parts don't believe in God. Your brain is, but you got to get your whole body involved. Right? Like we say, he'emanti ki adaber. I believe because I spoke. The more I speak about belief in God, the more it actually enters into my kishkas. The more I dance about it, the more I live it. It's not enough to read it in a book. It becomes a part of it. It's one of the reasons why I love teaching. Because when I teach, I get to speak it out. I read an idea. I speak it. It goes through my system, these words that I'm saying. So we should speak. Don't be quiet. And true faith is all around you. It surrounds a person. Everything. In your heart, your brain, and in your thoughts, everything. You're so special, you're so holy. That's a tzaddik. A tzaddik is when everything you do is mamish, with thought, with action, with heart, and everything you're doing is with holiness, with for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with emunah. You believe that davening marav right now, Hashem really cares. And every word is creating an angel. And every word is important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every word right now of learning Torah, learning Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, they say the Gra writes, every word of Torah right now is like a mitzvah. It's like waving the lulav. It's like bringing someone to your home for Shabbos meal. Every word of Torah says, Sfarim Medoishim, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. That's what we're supposed to believe. Oh, exactly what I said. You believe that Hashem is right here, watching over you. He knows your thoughts. He knows if it's L'Shem Shemayim or L'Shem anything else. Umargish mibhiruski is dying, is dying, that there's judge and there's judgment. And that's what, when the angel saw he couldn't overcome Yaakov. You can't bring dust into this Kisei HaKavod. He realized his heart and his brain, you can't move Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was strong in his faith of God, so he couldn't do it. So what did he do? He touched his gerech, his thigh. What's the thigh? I don't know. Sometimes the person's got it all, but he still has taivas. He still has desires. He still, certain things, really, he likes it. He likes, you know? He wanted to overcome his taivas. And that he did succeed a little bit. Even a holy yid. Sometimes we have taivas, and they were a little subjective. It was able a little bit to touch on our holiness. In other words, I can't get a holy yid to eat non-kosher, but can I get him to eat a little bit, to overeat a little bit, to eat a little bit extra chulin? That probably you can even get a tzaddik sometimes. So that's what Esav, you know, was stopping. He said, I can do that. Akev is make yourself holy with the extra things. Something that Tiva Shalom talks about a lot, what the Ramban spoke about, is that the real highest level of holiness is to put all of your pleasures for spiritual things, for Torah, for Tefillah, for Chesed. But even though it's not Isser, but the more I get pleasure out of the non-holy things, it a little bit takes away from my geschmack from my spiritual things. Like, for example, right after Yom Kippur, after the fast, a yid feels a certain purity, a certain desire to daven, a certain desire to dance, a certain desire to, you know, some people just feel really weak. But a lot of people feel this like koach, a cheshek, to do mitzvahs, to learn. Where's that come from? Because he wasn't getting his pleasure from the food. So there's more pleasure available to do spiritual things like learning. Yeah, are you with me? I feel that very, very strong. So that was what he, you know, the battle between Yaakov and Esav. That was Esav's only success. Okay? Now, the Rebbe has one last beautiful lesson for us. Okay? When is the Yetzer Hara about allowed to get to us? Guys, when is the Yetzer Hara successful? I'm just going to stand so that I don't fall asleep. He said, when you're alone. Yaakov was alone, and then the Yetzer Hara attacked him. He didn't have his children, his family. He was on the other side getting the pachim tanim, whatever he was doing. When he was alone with the situation, then when he was with his brothers, his children, nothing could touch him. Right now, right? We're together, we're learning Torah at the Kaisel. The Yitzhar has no chance, right? But if we're alone, you know, on a Thursday night, anything, you know, Chas Shalom, things can happen. That's right. So, Choshev to be in a, you know, an Avira of Kedusha. You know, put yourself around holy people, holy things happen. Ken mit dir dikhti bei kashe yad der rakh und yoyse mit yakob al ban shakhin wa khayl bikum nuarti shva akh ay shay yakob et yoyse bima when yosef was born koach and kenegish which apparently for a lot of kabbalistic reasons and spiritual reasons yosef is the antithesis of esav for lo ya mit yakob al esav he wasn't scared of esav anymore once he had yosef to the amin of rashi Vayabit Yaakov Esher Beit Yosef Lahava Uveit Esav Akash. This concept of Yaakov and Yosef going against Esav. Shkashir Yishnei Kfar Alhava Azai Kol Beit Esav Ena Klum Mifni. When you have Yosef, you have nothing to worry about for Esav. Oh, I know where he's going from. But Yosef always represents in Kabbalistic language not giving it your desires too much. Yosef is about Shmir Sabris and saving your... Isha Potiphar, exactly. Overcoming his sexual urges and overcoming all sorts of urges. And so he's the antithesis of giving it to your spirit, to your physical desires. And so he can go against Esav, which is all about the physical. Only when he's alone, away from Yosef, that the Yetzirah have a chance. It's interesting. Yaakov takes stones when Laban is running after him. It says that he calls his children his brothers. He called his children his brothers. Why is that? Because their brothers, you know, they were his children. They're his brothers in terms of friendship. He loved his children like they're friends. He loved an ayah echida. He loved and represented the amilcham negdai tatzarach del mudavach as a kedusha. Lovin was going against him, and he needed holiness. So he took his brothers, his children, he kashru ba'achva ba'achva, and he connected with his brothers with love and brotherhood. What did Yosef, you said this before. What was Yosef's superpower to overcome Ashes Potiphar? Who did he turn to not give in to his Yitzhar? Remember the Midrash? I remember. What did Yosef see?
His father's face.
He saw his father's face. He joined together on a spiritual level. Like Yaakov, who also was the person who overcame his desires. Right? And Hasidic thought Yaakov is all about overcoming the desires also. And so he was a Mekusher. He was connected, better physically, but at least in his thought, he was connected to his father, and that gave him the strength to overcome his desires. That's why maybe some people have Rebbe pictures in their home. That way, you can always feel connected to the Kedusha. Okay, we have two short paragraphs to finish up strong. The Rebbe's Maimer, right on time.
It's on the computer.
No, I'm recording this to send to anyone who wants to listen. Vayesoid b'choze, shekol adinim kol chasisit racha, enem sheotim ela ala yachad. The yesoid is that when does the Yetzer Hara have the koyach to go against the Yid? When I'm an individual. Ach kasher yudi mekusha letzibur, v'chavruta shel yirei elokim, when we're together, then the sitra acha has no chance. Maybe that's why men have to go to minyan more and be connected, because we have a bigger yetzer hara than women, and we need to be together more often. It forces us to at least three times a day kind
sitra,
of join together.
Same
idea. The dark side.
The Moloch, it says that they went after the people are back, weak ones, right? They were separated from everybody else. They got separated.
Yes. Exactly. Without Hashem. Ve'yitkachu the tzibor yishmira b'chol anyanim elchanim. When you're connected to the tzibor, that's why you can always daven at the times that the tzibor is davening. Even if you can't physically actually daven with the tzibor, at least you should daven at the time that they're davening. We want to connect ourselves as much. That's why we started our shir, b'shem kol Yisrael, for the sake of all the Jewish people. We're connecting to all of Am Yisrael. We have to mamash believe it. Right now, all of the neshamas of Am Yisrael are with us, together, learning with us. Become calling in him, gashmi, also physical matters. V'chal divrei Rav Kodesh Mikolskis, chuski again aleinu. Moshe Amrinu chazal, mishi yesh lo yisirim lo odia tzara lo rabbi. Rabin Bachim Elab Rachlin. The Gemara says that if you have pain, you should let the Rabin know. Let people know. Because people, when they join with your pain, and they're mishtatif b'tzarecha, etzem koach harabim mamtiko adinim. You see it. You share your burden with one person, it all already goes away, the pain. It's something magical. And, you know, psychology tries to explain it, but it's literally magical that I have the same pain and I tell my friend about it and suddenly it doesn't hurt as much. It's amazing. And this is the koach of being part of the tibur. And as Maral writes, the guy began Egla Arufa. Interesting, by the Egla Arufa, the calf that we cut off his head. The old people say, we didn't mean to, we didn't spill the blood. You know why they're partially responsible? Because they didn't do leverage. They didn't escort the person to the end of the tchum of the city. So they're partially responsible. How does that make sense? Tzarech bira. Ma, but gosh, some random guy came and killed him. The fact that I didn't escort him out of my house, that would have saved his life one way or the other. He was going to get killed. Because of that, he should be considered like we are partially responsible. You can probably guess where he's going here. When a yid is me alone, and I'm not connected to the tzibor, there's judgments, you're judged alone, bad stuff can happen. And bad things can happen, God forbid. When I escort you out, I'm showing this yid is connected to me. We're one. He's part of the tzibor of Klal Yisrael. So that connects him, spiritually speaking, seriously, to Am Yisrael. And it's also about my showing him love, but it's also literally connecting him spiritually to Am Yisrael. He's not considered an individual. He's part of the klal. So the power of the tzibor is no din. We didn't escort him out, so they're partially responsible for his death. Because if we would have escorted him out, all would have been had a better chance of it going well. So why is Yaakov Avinu the one who is fighting with Yaakov and Esav? Abraham and Yitzchak, Abraham and Yitzchak don't fight. Yaakov had the 12 tribes. He had the power of the rabbin. So he could break the powers, negative forces of Esav and Lava. Like a superhero, because he has the 12 tribes. It's like wind, earth, Ruvi, Shimon. The perish. And the one time that the Sitra Achra had the power to overcome Yaakov Avini, when you're connected to the Tzibor, when you have a Chavruta, and connected to other yidin, so as angel shum dinim begashmi, nothing bad will happen to you physically or spiritually. In other places, it says that when we say einod melvado, we're connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I guess we have like a chavrut of Kadosh Baruch Hu, nothing bad can happen. But if we're not on that level, so then Hashem gives us yidin, and we're connected to yidin, and nothing bad can happen to us. So just to conclude. To summarize what the Nativ Hashalom taught us, we started off asking, what is the meaning of this strange story of the battle between Yaakov and this strange man? And what is the meaning behind hitting his thigh? And why the Gemara says the dust went to the heavens at this crazy wrestling match? What is that all about? So the answer he gave was that the battle was actually about Emunah, about faith. We reminded ourselves that there are many different levels of faith. There's faith in the brain, faith in the heart, faith in the actions. And each one needs chizuk. And then we said that while he was not able to touch Yaakov on the level of anything, he was able to get the dust of our emunah, maybe, you know, making Yaakov a little bit taivas or something related to taivas, which is still something we struggle with. And maybe if we overcome that, that's like the highest level to bring the Mashiach. And then we ask, well, what was the weak point of Yaakov Avinu that led to this this dangerous situation? And we said it's because he was left alone. And the takeaway is when Yid is together with chavrutas or with minions or with just friends. And amazing. And now we're living in the generation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, with great power comes great responsibility. We have cell phones and Zoom and all these ways where we can always be connected to other people. We never really have an excuse anymore to be disconnected because we could always just call someone or WhatsApp someone and feel connected. But on the other hand, there's some negative sides of that machine. So it has pluses and minuses. But it can disconnect us. When we're even one-on-one, we could be with our wife and disconnected from our wife for the thing that's meant to connect. Ironically enough. Anyways, thank you guys so much for connecting to me and giving me koyach and hischabris. And may we always be connected and learn Torah, and the Torah will connect the Yidin and Tefillah. And when we are together, we can overcome the greatest challenges Hashem should give us through our here daven together, that all of our Yisrael should have chizuk and amunah. And that's the main battle of every single day, that we should just, we truly believe that everything that happens is for the best, even our mistakes are for the best, everything's for the best, then we'll be happy, and we'll bring the Mashiach. Gevalt.